I want to read the scripture to you. I'm going to read it and then kind of tell you why I'm doing, why I'm covering this the way I am. But let's read Titus 2, verse 1, verses 6 through 9, and then verse 15. But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Verse 6, likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds, with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. Urge, then it goes on to bond slaves and so forth. And then verse 15, these things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Loving Father, we are grateful for this opportunity to be together today. I thank you for each one who have come into this building and for each one that are online right now taking in the word and have been worshiping with us. We ask that you would minister to our needs. They are many, a lot more than we've spoken of. And we've come from different backgrounds and different situations, different experiences, and yet we have this common need for you to speak into our hearts through your word, that we might grow, that we might know, that we might respond as we should. I pray your blessing on this part of our worship service, on this part of the ministry of the word, that you would help me to speak as I should and make it clear as I can. And for the listener, Father, wherever they're at, that they might grow in their understanding of Jesus, his word, what you want from the church, and what you would have for them today. Thank you for the courage we have in him. Thank you that you know all things, and nothing has come into our life this past week, month, or year without you be allowing that, with the idea you're going to work it through us in order to grow us. And so we pray you'll do that, just that, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, Paul wrote to Titus, just to catch up a bit, to set things in order in the churches in Crete. Crete was a mess. Its society was a lot like ours today. And Paul also wrote to instruct him how to deal with false teachers. We covered that last week. He was to see them for what they were. He was to kind of get in their faces, if you would, to set them straight. He was not to allow them to speak in the congregation. They were not to be allowed to preach or to teach. And so what Paul is doing is he's giving Titus exactly what's needed in his culture, and really in every culture, because they all have the same needs. How it is to make an impact for the glory of the Lord and to minister Jesus Christ to other people. As part of the body of Christ, each of us have specific roles. This chapter, it deals with those in leadership, specifically an elder pastor. It deals with men, young men, older men. It deals with women, young women, older women. It deals with the workplace, slaves, and how you are to conduct yourself in that way. And it really answers the question, how do we impact a godless society? That's where we're at. We're in a godless society. We want to make an impact for the glory of the Lord. We want to influence others to a saving relationship to Christ. And so what I'm going to do today is I'm going to look at the instruction, although it's through a number of verses, given to Titus and how he is to minister in his place. First of all, in verse 1, it says, but as for you, Titus, but as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. He was to speak. Verse 8, sound in speech. Verse 15, these things speak. And that may seem very elementary, but it's not. He was to speak. He was to be courageous. Titus had to speak. He had to speak out, to tell others. He needed to communicate with words what God would have him to say to the people. That's what he was to do. And part of what he had to say is exactly what we've been reading in this book. Look, Titus, you need to set up elders in that church. This is what they need to look like. You need to deal with the false teachers and the false doctrine that's there. He needed to speak. And what a treasure he was given in this book. It was all laid out for him there. you can be sure, knowing Paul, knowing Titus, and he is an understudy of the great apostle, he would have been boldly proclaiming the gospel, the grace of Christ, exactly as Paul had taught it. The idea of preaching and teaching is putting the truth of God's word to words in such a way as to give understanding of the text to the listener. And this was not new. This was not new. Ezra, in the Old Testament, he had a ministry. Look what the scripture says, Ezra 7:10. Ezra had set in his heart to study the law of the Lord, to practice it and teach it, his statutes and ordinances in Israel. He studied that he might know, that he might proclaim. Amazing thing happened in Acts 2. Peter stands up. Look what happens. Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them. He preaches, he speaks, and you can see that sermon in Acts 2. That's what he did. And it was so powerful. The word was so powerful that you see a few verses later. Now, when they heard this, his audience, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what should we do?" That's the ministry of the word. That's the power of the Holy Spirit when the word of God is proclaimed. We have sort of dismissed this in our circles. I think we've lost faith at times in the power and simplicity of the Word of God and its ability to minister to the hearts of people. Titus, was to speak. He was to be courageous with it. Now the question continues to be asked by churches today and communities across our land. How can we be relevant? How can we make an impact in a dark world? And I want you to know that Titus lived in a dark world, in a dark place. And he was to speak. He was to preach. He was to teach. He was to exhort the word of God. That's how you make an impact in the world. Don't ever, ever, ever underestimate the power of the Word of God. The Word must be his foundation. And everything that he says and does should come from that place. There's a sobering responsibility that Titus was given as an elder, as a pastor, teacher. He was standing before God proclaiming the Word to God's people. He was, in a sense, God's voice. And it's a sobering responsibility. James said it this way: "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment." It's a very high calling, very sobering, standing before God and his people to do just that. And many of you will recognize this scripture, 2 Timothy 4:2. It was Paul's word to this young pastor, and he said to him, "Preach the word." If you were in Pastor Wes's adult Sunday school class, it's not just preach, Timothy, it's preach the word. There's a lot of preaching these days that has little to do with the word of God. Preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. Preach the word. And I was telling Pastor Wes earlier this week, I said, it's fascinating to me because my heart goes there, but my heart also goes here. My heart also goes here. What was said before? What was before Paul said to Timothy, "Preach the word," he says this, listen to this: "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom." And he says to Timothy, look, it's not just preach the word. I want you to know you have an amazing responsibility, a privilege for sure. But you will answer to the Lord as to how you've used this, your ability and your preaching. You are accountable not just to your people, but you are especially accountable to the Lord. So preach the word. Work at it. Never take it lightly. Any of you, all of us, in some way, we instruct others. We need to be men and women of the Word of God. You and I need to be growing. You ought not to be the same person you were a year ago in your knowledge of the Scripture and your walk with Christ. And I will keep pressing you with that. I don't care how young you are in the faith. I don't care how old you are in the faith. We all need to have a hunger for the Word of God. So he tells Titus, look, you need to be courageous. You need to speak. You're accountable to the Lord Jesus Christ, says to your ministry. That's what you are. Seemed like I got a slide or two mixed up here. No, I'm in the right order now. 2 Timothy 2:15, something else that, you know, in every one of us, this is the old Wanna verse. You guys remember that? But 2 Timothy 2:15, every one of us, it takes all of us in here. It takes all of us in here. We need to be these kind of people. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Know it. Know it. May it be something that is a very high priority in your life. So Paul said to Timothy, he said to Titus, preach, teach, be of sound doctrine, speak. And Paul asked for something that every preacher and teacher of the word should seek as well. For those who preach, those who teach, we need something from those around us. Paul said in Ephesians 6, 19 and 20, and I love his humility here, because here's a man that's mature in the faith. Here's a man that's planted churches. He could preach. He could teach. He says this, pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Pray for me. Pray for Pastor West. Pray for our Sunday school teachers. Pray for those who lead. We all need prayer in this regard. We want to do it right. We want to do this for the glory of the Lord, for the good of his people. We want to see it as we should and speak as we need to. So I ask the same that he asked. Please pray. So he says, speak, speak. And Titus, be courageous when you do it. Be courageous. Be sound. Look at verse 1 again. But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. Verse 8, sound in speech. He is to speak sound doctrine. He cannot have an aversion to it. Sound here has the idea of firm, pure, healthy, true, and uncorrupted. It's not based on man's ideas, man's wisdom, or man's experience. It isn't church tradition. It's to be the Word of God. He must know it well, and he must speak to it. This is, by the way, the antidote for what's in the chapter previous to this. You know, we looked at those false teachers, and I gave you a whole bunch of their qualities last week. And a question might be asked, okay, so that's going on. What do we do about it? Here's what we do about it. We speak truth. We are to speak that which is healthy, that which is proper, that which is pure. This is the antidote for not only churches in America, but for that church in Crete. This is what needs to be proclaimed. Titus was tasked to set them straight. I will tell you that I believe the number one reason that the majority of churches are impotent in their impact in America, and I believe that the reason is exactly what's set before us right here and right now. Doctrine, teaching, has taken a back seat to almost everything else that goes on in churches today. Sound doctrine leads to sound living. It leads to sound churches. Healthy doctrine leads to a spiritually healthy life. And brother, sister, the opposite is true. The opposite is true. Doctrine that is not sound leads to spiritually unhealthy lives. And that's exactly what the moment called for. Titus, speak sound doctrine. As we noted last week, there were those within the church that were teaching everything that was not sound. They were upsetting whole families. Remember God's evaluation of them? Look back to chapter 1, verse 16. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless. What a wrap-up of ministry. Can you imagine such a thing? You know, you're laboring away, and God comes along, and you've been doing your thing, and he says to you and I don't know what you've been doing, but it certainly hasn't been centered on my word, and I want you to know that that is worthless, and it leads to a mess in the church. So here were these Cretans in a godless society. They needed something that would give them stability. If the church was to be set in order, doctrine, pure doctrine needed to be taught. If Titus wanted to have a strong influence for Christ in the lives of those he'd been entrusted with, it had to begin with solid, godly teaching. Today within the church, there's a movement towards one's experience, one's feelings. Although these are important, they must not triumph over what God has spoken. The Word of God is the standard, not the wisdom of man, not the experiences of man. It's the Word of God. He was to speak, he was to be courageous, he was to be sound. Paul also implored Titus to press. Verse 6, likewise urge the young men. Verse 9, urge. Verse 15, these things speak and exhort and reprove. He was to, twice the word urge is used in verses 6 and 9. Urge and exhort are similar. His ministry needs to have an urgency to it because of what others need to hear. He is to urge, to plead, to entreat his listeners in the truth, urge them to pursue Jesus, to be courageous followers, to stand firm in a godless society, urge them to have as their foundation the living and authoritative Word of God. Let it drive them. So there was this urgency about his ministry. He was to urge, to exhort. He was to reprove. Verse 15, these things speak and exhort and reprove. With all authority. Reproving has the idea to convince someone or correct someone who's not understanding the truth. We are to speak the truth in love. In exhorting, urging, Titus was entreating his listeners to respond to the truth. Do it, brother, sister. May God speak to you in the Word. That's what he's saying. Let the Word minister. And where the Word ministers, move. If God's calling you to something, if he's calling you from something, let the Spirit of God and the Word of God move you. And he was to stand firm. Look at the last part of verse 15. He was to do that with all authority. He was to do that with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Paul wanted Titus to stand firm. There would be those who would want to dismiss him and his approach to ministry. I've thought about this. He's going to these churches. He's appointing elders. He needs to set these churches straight. There are going to be those that stand against this, that there would be those who disapprove. Titus was to preach and teach pure, sound doctrine. His authority was the Word of God. It's a challenging task. If he neglected Paul's instruction, he may win the favor and the applause of others, but he would not win the favor and approval of God. This is a serious and somber assignment. Also, an incredibly bold and exciting approach to ministry. It's the right approach, by the way. Titus had in his hand the key to getting these churches on the right track. He knew what the churches needed for right leadership as elders. He was given the right approach for pastors. He could relay to the people what their roles were in serving and living in a godless society in order to make an impact for God and to win others for Christ. And he was to express that grace teaches us to live godly lives as we look to Jesus. He had set before Titus one of the most important verses in all of Scripture to counter what most people believe. And I want to throw this in here right now. I'll speak to it more when we get to the third chapter. But I'm just thinking about what Titus was given. He was given a gem here in... I'm not sure what happened here. Well, this is a little messed up. Isn't that great when I'm teaching on how important this is? Well, we'll come to it when we get to the third chapter. But Titus 3:5, God had placed in Titus' hands all that he needed. So Titus was to speak, he was to press, and he was to live. He was to live. Look at verses 7 and 8. Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. In verse 6, then, in all things, Titus, in all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity and doctrine dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. He was to live. He was to live a grace-filled life. Titus was to do just that. He was to walk with the Lord in such a way as to reflect him well through what he had spoken, what he had believed, and how he lived. He needed to be an example of what it was to know Christ and to walk with him. As a pastor, as an elder, that was his role. Paul not only told Titus that he needs to urge and exhort, Paul said, your personal life, live out these truths, Titus. He's saying to him, listen, you need to be an example to your people of a grace-filled life, one that pursues Christ, loves, and lives out his word. I just appreciate that. That's a great word to all of us. And I have to say to you that I've known pastors. There are pastors that I look to and look up to. And I've seen men live out a godly life, and it speaks. And Paul said to Titus, you live it. You live it. And he talked about good deeds here. Good deeds for the believer. In verse 7 here, and all these things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity and doctrine, dignified sound and speech and so forth. But good deeds for the believer, they come from a heart that's in love with the Lord, humbled and amazed at his grace in their lives. It transfers to a genuine compassion for others, a deep love for them. You know, as believers, and certainly as a pastor, when you're dealing with people, the one thing they ought to know is you care about them. You have a deep love for Christ and a deep love for others. But be an example of good deeds. Do well. Do things rightly. And reach out to others and minister to them. Now, we recognize as believers that good deeds are a result of salvation, not a way to gain salvation. In order for a person to be right with Christ, they need to trust him as Savior. And they are, at that moment when they make a decision to trust Christ, they are gifted with the gift of righteousness. No one comes to Christ with enough merit on their own to be saved. We're sinners, we're lost. But when God opens our mind to the gospel, we understand that he offers us something that we can't buy. It's salvation. And God will be a debtor to no man. No man can stand before God and say, look, you're looking at a pretty good guy here. I've done X, Y, and Z, and therefore you must impart salvation to me. The scripture is pretty clear. Even our righteousness is as filthy deeds, filthy rags, I should say. So there's no deeds that are good enough. But we live out the life of Christ as believers. We are to be involved in good deeds. And the scripture in Titus, I'll talk about that much more as we go forward. But it mentions again, he comes back to purity and doctrine here. Verse 7, he mentions doctrine again. But he's to be pure in doctrine. Purity has the idea of being uncorrupt. Having integrity to it. It needs to be pure. He will do well. Titus, you'll do well if you stick with that. Stick to the word. And purity and doctrine. He can't use the word for his own gain. Not to gain something from other or some kind of standing. He needs to rightly divide it. Allow it to speak first and then speak to him first, and then those God has entrusted him with. He's to be dignified. Look at verse 7 again. Purity and doctrine, dignified, last part of verse 7. Dignified has the idea of reverent and seriousness in his life. Now, this doesn't mean he cannot laugh. I want you to know that. I believe it's good medicine, that laughter is good medicine. Chuck Swindoll would agree with me on that. Some of you remember Pastor Baker. And if you knew Pastor Baker, you knew something about this man. He was a dignified man. He also loved to laugh and tell jokes. I would go to pastor's meetings with him. And if it was a meeting in Iron Mountain, he would tell jokes and laugh all the way there and back. If it was Iron River, same thing. I learned this early on. I believe a pastor should laugh. I really believe he should. And so I do. I have to tell you, I tell the best jokes in the world. And if you wonder, just listen when I tell one, because I will laugh about it. I'll laugh at my jokes. I said something to somebody on Facebook a couple days ago. I reread it yesterday, and I laughed about it again. I thought it was so funny. One time I was with Pastor Baker and Dorothy. Becky was with us. Becky and I, Pastor Baker and Dorothy. And we'd gone to a pastor's meeting. We stopped, and this was the first 2 years I was here, somewhere with the first year or two. And we stopped in the Walmart and on our way back home in Iron Mountain. And I remember Becky and Dorothy going in to get something. So we got out of the car. We went in as well. And we stood kind of off the side of the checkout. Pastor Baker and I were just talking there. And this Walmart worker, a lady probably in her 40s, walked up to us and she said to us, "Did you find everything you were looking for?" And I said, "No." I said, "I cannot find the chocolate buttermilk anywhere." And she had the most puzzled look on her face. And I looked at Pastor Baker, and he's just dumbfounded that I would ever say this. And she kept thinking about it, and she kind of walks away spitting and sputtering. He looked at me. He said, "What is wrong with you?" He never forgot. He told that until he went home to be with the Lord. He said, "I can't believe you're my pastor." I said, "I can't believe you voted for me." He loved to laugh. I don't believe a pastor's personality needs to be so serious he's like a house on the side of the road. I mean, he should be one who is full of joy, and there should be some laughter. But this position is a dignified position. It's serious. That's what he's saying here. I once heard a pastor refer to an upcoming speaking engagement in a church as a gig. I'm not sure that that means to him what it means to me. But to me, a gig sounds like a performance one does for money, like a comedian or a musician referring to an upcoming event at a nightclub rather than a pastor referring to an opportunity to engage and proclaim God's word to his people. And I don't know his heart. I'm not sure there. But if that's the way he approached his time in the pulpit, he's way off. This is not that. This is proclaiming the word of God. And it needs to be taken seriously to a great degree. Sound words, those are mentioned in verse 8, sound in speech. Sound words. He was beyond reproach in what he said. And this would play out in what he did or how he acted. If you'll remember, one of the qualifications for elders, it's actually mentioned twice in that first chapter, verses 6 and 7. There couldn't be an accusation made against a man that had any merit. He was to be beyond reproach, not perfect. And that's not what Paul's saying to Titus. But he needed to be a godly man. So did those men. As a pastor, Titus certainly would have those who would speak negative things about him, but they couldn't go anywhere. They wouldn't go anywhere. If you've been called as a pastor, I'll guarantee you there will be those who say things about you who are not true. They're slanderous, painful to hear. Words matter. I've had those said about me, but there's no merit to them. And Paul is telling Titus, look, be careful with your words. Don't wing it. This isn't something that you take lightly. You're going to speak. You're going to teach God's people. Prepare yourself. And then lastly, sound in testimony. Verse 8 again. Sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. Sound in testimony. He needed that. So that those who oppose, and that's a heads up for anyone in ministry, there's always those who oppose. I think I said this last week, but wherever God's at work, Satan's there to oppose it. And pastors and leaders and teachers, you're at the tip of the spear. And Satan wants you. He wants your testimony. He wants your life. He wants to ruin you. And so we need to be those men who walk with the Lord humbly, recognizing our faults, our sin. And that's true. You know, there's no man that stands in the pulpit who's not a sinner, saved by grace, who's yet to be made perfect. That's me. But we need to be men who look at our lives honestly in light of the Word of God, and where we need to make corrections, where we need to call it what it is, we call it what it is, have Christ's forgiveness and move on. Someone said false doctrine is used by the devil to destroy lives and wreck the church. That was a ways back. I was supposed to give you that. Pastor preaches best by his life. He does. He preaches best by his life. Everything we do teaches. Parents, grandparents, everything we do teaches. We need to be sound in our words. But there is something about our lives that speaks. They need to be held under the Word of God by the grace of God. We need to live out a Christ-like life. And a pastor preaches best by his life. I have to tell you, I know men like this, like Paul is telling Titus here that he needs to be, and they are beautiful to me. They're inspiring to me. They light a fire under my heart. There's one pastor who's really been a mentor to me. And I will tell you, I don't believe I've ever had a conversation with him when I've walked away and did not feel uplifted. I did not feel like, wow, I'm ready to go now, where he did not speak something that was helpful to me. And I think all of us can strive for these things, can we not? Certainly we can. All of you have a ministry. Every one of you do. There are people that God has placed in your life that you need to be that person that exudes grace and love and speaks the truth and gives them an opportunity to see what it is to know Jesus Christ. Well, all of us have those various roles within the body of Christ. Every one of us, we've been given at least one spiritual gift, and we're to practice that with the idea of edifying the body of Christ. All of us are called to love the brethren. All of us are. All of us are called to be hospitable. Not all have that gift, but we're all called to be hospitable. All of us are called to pray without ceasing. All of us are called to serve one another. We're all called that. When we come into this place, it's not just that you guys get something, which I pray to God that you do, but you are here to give something. You're to love. You're to be gracious. You're to be encouraging. Your presence in this place, in this moment, speaks to others. It does. It says, you know what? Sunday morning, it's worth gathering. It's worth gathering. I can wrap up, I believe, and I want to wrap up my message in this way. I believe what God is calling Titus, there's specifics there, but I'm going to wrap it up in two words for you and I. For you and I. Be faithful. Be faithful. Today, be faithful. You might say, that's a big task. I don't know about tomorrow. I don't know either, but today I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful. So no matter where you're at, what you're doing, where God has you, you have influence. Be faithful. Be faithful to him. You'll do well. Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for your love and grace to us. It's amazing that you would think about us and consider us and demonstrate to us what it is to, how it is that we would know love. And we know love by this, that you sent your son. And we know love from our Lord's life, that he gave his life for sinners like us. Thank you that through faith in Christ, what he's done, He stood in our place. He took our sin. He bore our punishment. He defeated death. He rose again in triumph. Through faith in him, we can be redeemed. I pray if anyone is lost, if anyone does not know where they'll spend eternity, they would consider that today. For my brothers and sisters, Father, I pray, they will understand something. Their lives matter. There are people that you are going to bring into their lives this week that need to see what it is to be like Jesus. And I pray they'll take that seriously, that they'll have hearts that desire to grow and to mature and to serve and to love and to proclaim. And I pray that their hearts would be, listen, Father, I want to be that person that lives as I should live, keeping short accounts of sin, calling it what it is, and striving toward becoming like Jesus. Bless your people now. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.